You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. If there was one thing, Vic Carucci back with me in studio, so happy to have you back. If there's one thing that stuck out to me from that Ray Farmer interview, and certainly we want to get all of your takes on the Ray Farmer press conference, what you just heard from him now, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850, or you can tweet the show at Browns underscore daily, is this, and I mean this as an absolute positive. This year, more than any year I can remember, and you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, there has been more monumental shifts in the perceived value of players at a time when nobody was playing football than I can ever remember. And not just at the quarterback position, all across the board, but obviously especially at the quarterback position. And one of the things I wanted to try to get at when I asked the question about Ray Farmer about our draft board now and our draft board that was done earlier in the year is I've heard from many people around the NFL, many respected personnel people, etc., that the best teams consistently have their draft boards basically 95% set before the combine. And they make minor tweaks and adjustments as it goes, but there are not radical shifts because that is, and many scouts believe, the time when you truly do have the best handle on the players and what they project to be is when you finished out that college season and are intimately with them all the time doing your job. And when I asked him that and he said that the board really has not changed that much, I took that as a very positive sign that this is not a team that is going to get lost and moved by the noise. They're going to focus on the signals that they studied intimately and stick with that and what they believe.
For the most part, teams have at least a first crack of a board done by November. That's generally the timetable, if you talk to most general managers around the league, that they have it done, that they have a listing. And remember, this is fed by a lot of different things, not the least of which are the national services, Blesto being one of them, the scouting services, the service that puts together, that guides the list of players who are invited to the NFL scouting combine. And remember, teams have scouts from their staff that represent them in these group settings, and that information basically comes down to what's called draftable information, draftable player lists. So these are the guys that you draft, and they meet in Florida. They periodically have a what's called a Blesto meeting down in Florida to get acclimated with who these players are. And you're not sending necessarily your whole scouting staff down there, but representatives. And then you at a certain time of year, and then you bring that information back, and you put together, and you're getting reports of the players as they are being scouted during the football season, the college football season. And you're getting this list together. And I would say to you that from November, when most teams had their lists out, and when you started to hear from the media, from analysts and such who would said, okay, these guys, let's use just the name, Jadeveon Clowney, or these quarterbacks were the best. And remember, in November, you still didn't know which quarterbacks were in or out. So there were assumptions made on quarterbacks that are now not part of this draft, who some thought Marcus Mariota and others who thought would Brett Huntley would be there. So I think that had a big impact on the shifting you talk about. That had the initial impact. And I think the second thing, and we talked about this with Ray Farmer, there's no doubt this additional time has brought additional analysis. And not only are those of us in the media overanalyzing this draft in many ways, but the teams are, I think, doing the same thing, are making use of their time. Look, they're being paid to do a job. They've got to account to owners and others, so they can't just sit around and twiddle their thumbs and act like, well, we'd be on the same, we've got these extra 2 weeks now. This is an extra 2 weeks to have some downtime. And granted, for Ray's sake, and I think this is smart, that he says he's taking that downtime next week, very smart thing to do, but in truth, he admitted it. They're taking extra time, and I think the more you look at something, you start to have other ideas about it. It's happened in this draft. The player who has theoretically now suffered the most, been hurt the most, is your guy Teddy Bridgewater. It seems to me like He got beat up. This became an exercise in beating him up, and obviously most of it stemming from that poor pro day.
For sure. And you know, to me, it was interesting. Doug Marrone, coach of the Buffalo Bills, was talking about this same thing, and he said, you know, in many cases, the tendency is when you think too long, you think wrong. And I think that it is a case where you can overanalyze. As Ray Farmer said in his press conference, none of these guys are perfect. And if you want to go through and go away from what your initial sense of these people was when you actually studied and went through and made your determinations so that you can go back and only look at and look for the negatives, you're going to be able to poke holes in all these guys and come away thinking sure. that, heck, forget first round. I don't want these guys anywhere near my team.
Right.
And that I think is the danger. You can talk yourself out of, and then, oh, well, all of a sudden, you know, there's a buzz about Tom Savage. You could talk yourself into Tom Savage. You can talk yourself into Cody Latimer, who's rising up the board, because there are things to like. And then you go back and you wonder, some way, why isn't the production commensurate with what this unbelievable talent should have been at the college level? Why did he disappear at times? There are a lot of things and a lot of ways to look at these. And to me, I wonder... You know, I that was important to me. I wanted to hear, because I had known from Ray and from other GMs around the league and people in the NFL that I talked to whose opinions I respect, that the best teams don't go through this. Bill Belichick's running marathons because his team is very comfortable with where their board is, and they're not chasing ghosts. They know what they want. It's been where it is with minor adjustments, and there it is. So to me, I liked hearing that. They gave me some confidence. I also like the fact that he tips his hand. Not at all. There is no, you don't know what they're going to do. I still have my belief at number four that when push comes to shove, it could be an offensive lineman or a defensive pass rusher if a Khalil Mack is there. I also think the trade down possibility might be my favorite, down staying in the top 10, picking up another second in this great draft, maybe some more than that as well. There are a lot of options, and that's the great thing. Nobody knows what the Browns are going to do. He did speak very highly, though, of Sammy Watkins, and I know a lot of people are on the Watkins bandwagon.
Look, in some respects, you almost see or felt Ray Farmer was trying to, like, soften the blow for those who will say when the first round goes by and no quarterback would be taken. Now, here's why we're doing this, to give people sort of like a little bit of a preview of the thinking if – it goes down that way.
That's a possible bundle.
And you're back to the bundle talk, which I was fascinated. That was fascinating,
that was
too, the bundle 51. But, I mean, the whole idea that a quarterback might not factor into first-round thinking when we both, you and I, will sit here and agree wholeheartedly that this team drafts a quarterback and drafts a quarterback with a sense of it being important, that it's not going to be a flyer on a quarterback, that it's not going to be just taking a guy to take a guy somewhere in the middle or late part of this draft. I'm not getting that feeling that that's how the Browns will go about this. That's just my sense. Nor do I think it's the way they necessarily should go about this, that if you draft any quarterback this year or quarterbacks, you do it with the idea that you are counting on that guy to be your guy for a long time to come, and that you have to identify him in this draft because you can't count on next year's draft being the one that will provide that answer. And for all the good reasons that an offensive tackle would make sense or a pass rusher makes sense, those are all good and sound reasons. It doesn't change the fact that the need is there. And that's why in talking with Ray Farmer, he asked me why I think it's – well, I think it's obvious. I think the need is pretty obvious, and I think in his mindset, I'm not going to presume to put words in his mouth at all, because he gave us his words. His words are, look, you'd want to minimize the importance of the position, but I don't think it means minimizing necessarily the need for it in this draft.
I couldn't agree more. Let's go to John in Dallas now, talking about Ray Farmer and the picks in the upcoming draft now, finally just 10 days away here. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Hey, did you guys catch the part where he mentioned that he had pick five? And I'm sitting here. If you guys get a chance later, play the tape back.
He did say five instead of four.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, my God, this guy's he's either throwing a funny curveball at everybody to see if they catch it, or I wouldn't say he doesn't know where he's drafting, but I really think all these GMs are playing the Ray Farmer game. They're guys you don't want to play poker with. So all this talk in these 2 weeks is just killing us, because we don't know what they're doing. All I can say is go Browns and take Johnny Football.
All this talk is killing us, as long as they take the guy that you want to take.
Right.
I think the I don't know that the talk is a killer. I think it can be fun in some respects. In fact, I think it's more fun than not to just go through speculation. Now, you can walk yourself in circles a lot of times, and we've done that on this show, and I think you do it in the overall analysis of this draft. But having said all that, I like the way if what he was giving us was a true window into how the overall thought process is working. What I hear is a confident guy.
Yes.
Feels comfortable with his plan and the overall plan of the team, that he's not showing a sense of panic or, you know, what are we really doing here? You know, trying to just be very nervous and uncomfortable about anything. I don't sense that at all. I sense there's control. I sense there is a vision of how this team is supposed to look when it's all said and done. Whether it agrees with your or my vision of how they should do it, that's another thing. But the opportunity we get on this show is to share our views on how we would run this draft or how we would put together this football team and give our opinions. That's what our callers do as well. And for all the calls for Johnny Manziel, that's fine. I expect to hear that. I would still sit here today not expecting that to be the pick of the Browns at all. That's just where I'm going with that.
I'm not going to take him out of the equation completely. I think that there are a lot of things that would be good about Johnny Manziel, and I've talked about the things that he would need to improve, the questions that would have to be answered by Johnny Manziel to be able to succeed year after year in the National Football League. There's a lot that he would have to do. Is the upside there? Of course it is. But is the downside there? You're darn right it is there as well. We'll see there.
If you're minimizing the quarterback position, which we've heard now consistent, the message from Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer reiterated it on this show, there's no minimizing Johnny Football. That's the word minimizing doesn't come. His height could be the reference there,
sure,
in a derisive way. But in terms of him, what Johnny Manziel represents, no minimizing. That's maximum.
That is true.
That's a brand. That guy comes in with his own. You got the National Football League, the Browns, and then Johnny Manziel.
To me, it's about who, when Ray Farmer and the scouts and Billy Kuharik and Mike Pettine and they all get together, who do they decide is going to help this team win the most football games? And I like the fact that that's what Ray Farmer said. Do you care what if we didn't draft a quarterback at all and we won 10 games? Wouldn't everybody be happy with that? Of course we would be. And I like the fact that ultimately it is focused on winning, and that is what it should be focused on here for the Cleveland Browns. When we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network will be with us in studio right after this.